Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Man, I hope you're having a good day. We got big hoops games tonight. Nets taking on the Bucks. We have some news. If you've been listening to Dan Byer, you should listen to Byer. I listen to Dan Byer. He's always right, right? Anyway, top of the hour, half past the hour, Dan told us James Harden cleared to play, went through a workout, gonna see how it feels, was doubtful, then questionable. Now we're starting to get hopeful. Just saying, he's not listed as hopeful. He's listed as questionable. Is your dad's razor older than you are? Get him something new for Father's Day. A DSC six-blade razor is perfect for an extra close, precise shave. Get one now at a store near you or as part of a gift set at dollarshaveclub.com/Doug. That's dollarshaveclub.com/Doug. Let me set up the hour for you. Nota B. Gay will join us, NBC Sports and Golf Channel analyst, as we are. It's U.S. Open Week, fools. And what are we doing? We're making Dan Byer work. That's what we're doing. Byer, our golf guy, took the Masters off PGA. He was at home with his newborn baby, and now he's got to work. That's okay. He'll be on the radio Sunday when this thing is concluding. Nota B. Gay will join us. We'll ask him about Torrey and about the setup and about who he likes going into the week. Plus, some news out of Miami is not good, and my reaction to the news out of Miami not being good for Tua Tagovailoa. But first, I want to get to the NBA, and I feel like I know a lot about the NBA. You know, I never played in the NBA. I got close. I was a summer league guy, right? I know NBA guys, coaches, general managers, players, but who better than a guy who's played against all of those guys? Colin Sexton's the starting point guard for the Cleveland Cavaliers. He has been so since he arrived as a lottery pick out of the University of Alabama. He joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Colin, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. What's it like to watch these games? Like, you are, I mean, obviously following you in high school and in college and now as a pro. People can say what you do or don't do, but the one thing that everyone agrees about your game is you are an incredible competitor. And as a competitor, though, you can't play right now and you have to watch all these other guys in your profession play. What's that like for you?
It's very tough. It's definitely very tough. But at the end of the day, I know we're going to be putting on in these positions where we're in the playoffs, and we have to make sure that we're ready to go. At the end of the day, like, I'm watching these games, taking bits and pieces of each player and as well as each team, and just pretty much watching the game through and understanding that each possession matters and how – even the little things are maybe like a turnover in the first half and the team goes on the 10-0 run, like how the little things like that have affected the game. And just continue to learn basketball. At the end of the day, I'm just watching it and understand the game a little bit better and understand what I know for next season that I can use when I go out there on the floor.
This has been, obviously, you haven't parachuted into a ready-made franchise, ready to compete. You've had coaching changes mid-season. You know, you've had, you know, player turnover. You have veteran players who aren't necessarily in it for the rebuild. A couple years in, if you could try and explain to the rest of us what it's like for you, what this experience thus far is, how would you explain it?
I would say it's up and down. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be good days, it's going to be bad days. But as long as you just continue to stay true to yourself and just continue to work each and every day like it's your last, and just continue to take the good with the bad and always be happy and always have a good mood. At the end of the day, like, you do what you can control. Certain things you can't, and certain things you can. If you go out there and compete and give it 110% that night and you left it all out there on the court, then you're able to leave a little bit better knowing that you did so. So I would say that's pretty much how I look at it, even though we haven't won and stuff, but I definitely take, like, even the games that we may lose that three points, then I'll take those as learning lessons and things that I can improve on for the next game. So each game and each season is lessons that's going to help you and lessons that you can take away to improve your game.
If Colin Sexton 2021 could grab Colin Sexton 2018 when you come in the league as the eighth pick of the draft, 1 year in at Alabama, if you could say, hey, this will help you, what is the one or two things that you know now that you wish you knew coming into the league?
Oh, man. I would say just knowing the game a little bit better and just staying patient. I would say staying patient and waiting your turn and just continue to understand that the way your path is going to be different from everybody else's path. You know what I mean? Like, I can't compare myself to anyone, and I won't compare myself to anyone. So, and that's just how I would tell my younger self, and as well as just continue to work, and continue to grind, and everything is going to pay off in itself. Even though I'm a really workaholic, but I would definitely tell my younger self that because, you know, sometimes you feel like you're working and people don't see it. But, yeah, people are definitely starting to see it.
Colin Sexton joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Look, you and Trae Young, obviously there's a rivalry there, not only position-wise, but time in the league-wise. And your games are very, very different. But when you see how he played last night, right? Like, he's a guy that's always been seen as a kind of scorer, you know, a shooter who's a very good passer. You're a guy who's more of a tack, get to the rim guy who can also shoot and score and set others up. You've obviously had the reputation of being better at the defensive end than he is. But you see, what do you see in Trae that's evolving here in the playoffs?
Pretty much just going out there and just playing free. At the end of the day, he's playing free, and he's not worrying about making a mistake. And he's just going out there and doing whatever it takes. And he has really good vets over there. I know Luke Will personally, and I know he's giving him bits and pieces of things that's helping him out there. And you can tell the coach is just allowing him just to play and just play through his mistakes. At the end of the day, it's not going to be no perfect game. So he's doing that, and he's doing really good.
Who's the toughest cover for you? Give me, and I know, you know, in the NBA you switch whatever, but there's this league just has a litany of guards that are unbelievable, yourself included, obviously. But you look around the playoffs and, you know, everybody's got one. When you see on the schedule, and I know, like, you're not scared of anybody, so don't take it as that. But when you watch these guys playing, you know, you got Dame, Kyrie obviously is hurt now. You have Trae, you know, there's Steph as well. And then, you know, you look at guys that are still playing in the tournament. Donovan Mitchell has been phenomenal for the most part in the playoffs. Who's the guy who you think is the toughest for you personally to cover?
I would say the toughest person that I've, like coming in when I first came into the league was probably Tony Parker and, like, Kimba, Steph. Some of those guys, especially, and then also Bradley Beal's a very tough cover.
Ooh, yeah, good.
I know every time we play him, I have to guard him, and he's tough. So, pretty much every team has a player on there that's a tough cover. It's no easy night at the point guard position. Yeah. No matter the team, whether you're playing the Spurs, whether you're playing Minnesota, like.
Tony's a great call, right? Tony, it feels like Tony's going to go down as like the most underrated dude ever in the NBA because people talk about Duncan and they'll talk about Manu and like, hey, Tony Parker's a bucket now, you know, especially, I mean, off the ball screen, that mid-range pull-up he was nice before he got older. Okay. Let me ask you this. Explain to me the Clippers thing. Did they figure out the matchups? Like, this is two series in a row where they lose the first two, they don't seem to stress over it, and then all of a sudden they hit they downshift, and now they look like the team to beat once again. How can you, as somebody who understands this league at a level above those of us as fans, what is it with the Clippers that they figure out once they get to game three?
Oh, man. Honestly, it's just pretty much how confident they are. at the end of the day. Just they're playing with confidence. They're playing with poise, and they don't let anyone rattle them. And you can definitely tell that. Kawhi and PG, Reggie, like, you can just tell they're just out there, and they're just playing and playing free, even though, like, they were down last series as well as this series. They're not letting anything phase them, and you can definitely tell that. And you can tell how they're making adjustments. They're taking the first – it seems like they're just taking the first two games to understand what the team like and then making an adjustment. So, but they can do that because they have some elite guys on that team. So it's definitely fun to watch and to see, like, what adjustments they made from the first game until now.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. I don't know if you saw this. James Harden's listed as doubtful, but that means that he's going to try and give it a go. You ever had one of those, the bad hamstring pulls?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And those things linger. And it just don't allow you to extend and just pretty much slide. It's so many different things, like, from a hamstring perspective, and it takes a while for it to heal. So it's definitely going to be tough for him to get out there tonight and play on that. But if he's good to go, you know what Harden is going to give, especially during playoff times. He's definitely going to show up. So no matter if he has the injury or not, he's going to give it his all. So
okay, you get switched off onto Giannis. What do you do?
I get switched off on Giannis. I would say just pretty much just load up and.
You got to get up in his space, right? So you can't, because if you back off, he comes running at you, gets going downhill, and that's when he gets to his spins. Do you have to get up into his space? Is that as a smaller guard? Is that what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. Get up to his space, and then he's going to probably go to the basket. And at that time, you definitely gonna have help. Is and just pretty much make him pick it up. I know me being smaller, I know I could probably just be able to just get it up under him, and just once he picks it up, then he'd be able to pass it. So, but I definitely probably need a little bit of help.
All right, same thing, KD. Now, KD, obviously, PJ Tucker's bigger and stronger than you, but there's a dude who's just getting up into space and bodying him. You get switched off into KD. Do you make him go right? Do you make him go left? Like, what do you do when you have that 7-foot monster handling the ball and you get ice out?
I just make him put it on the floor. Make him put it on the floor because, you know, he's just pretty much just going to roll you to sleep into maybe the between heads or the cross right into the left head though. So with KD, he's totally different. And make him put it on the floor because he's always looking at left to right cross as well. So he can shoot it from anywhere. So just pretty much when he picks it up, just try to crowd him before he's able to get it up. And because if not, he's shooting over anybody in the league.
Okay, you come driving down the lane and you see Gobert there, right? How do you? I mean, you got a nice floater game, right? And obviously everybody wants to do what Ja tried to do, where you just kind of try and put him in, like go get you a footer and dunk on him. What's the mindset like when you get going downhill and you see somebody like Rudy Gobert waiting for you at the rim?
I would say just pretty much just see if he steps up yet. If he doesn't step up, then I'll shoot the floater. But if he does step up, and just pretty much maybe do a late drop-off pass to the big, like get him engaged. It just pretty much depends. But if I have a chance to float on top of him, I definitely will.
Colin Sexton joining us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Joining us on behalf of Hotels.com. I love Hotels.com. I love the app. It's got to be cool, though, right now. When you travel, you use the app, and you can use the filter. You got to filter out all the 4 and 3 stars, right? You're only going for 4, 5 stars these days. Like this, it's got to be a different feeling to not worry about getting the best deal on anything other than the best hotels in town.
Yeah, for sure. Just being able to get a good deal. It's nothing like getting a good deal on a hotel. And with Hotels.com, if you're watching the game, you can win a free trip. First 100. And you got to make sure you're watching 20 plus more fast break points. And you go do that, and you make sure you go on visit the fast break getaway page, hotels.com, and you'll get a chance to win a free trip. So make sure you go do that, because who doesn't like free trips? I know I do.
One trip you're taking this summer?
Maybe to Florida with my family, maybe before the start of the season.
You going Miami? You going the East? You going Tampa? Are you going like Tom Brady on us? Like which? I mean, I'm not gonna track you, and I'm not gonna stalk you. I'm just kind of intrigued by this.
Oh no, I'm going Orlando. I'm going straight to Universal Studios. Straight. I like Universal Studios, Island Adventures, all that. I like to get on roller coasters.
Ooh, okay. No. Have you always liked roller coaster? When you were like a little, because I was a little kid, I was super scared of them. And then in high school, we went to Six Flags, and you know, just trying to be a tough guy. Like I got on, and I got over the fear. Now I love them. Was there ever a moment where you were scared of roller coasters?
It's never been a moment I was scared of roller coasters. I've been on some ones that made me just like, oh, maybe a little bit, but I've never been afraid of any roller coasters. I kind of love them.
Colin, who wins the NBA championship? And I know it's hard because Brooklyn's banged up, and a lot of people pick Brooklyn. The Clippers are still tied at two. If you were a gambling man, who would be your pick?
I'm not sure at this time. I just watch the games just because I love the game. I'm not deciding on who wins. I hope it's more games so I can just continue to watch. That's how I look at it.
Colin, thanks for joining us, man. Congrats on another tremendous year in the NBA. We look forward to talking to you in the near future.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. I saw this story. Tua Tagovailoa threw 5 interceptions first day of minicamp. Remember, Jimmy G threw 5 picks 1 year at their minicamp. Of course, Jimmy G's, I'll tell you some crap coming out of San Francisco that I actually really like John Lynch. I don't know Kyle very well, but people I know who know Kyle like him. They've done an amazing job of putting out this whole, like, look, we love Jimmy. It's just, he's hurt a lot. Like, no, you like Jimmy. You like Jimmy. You wouldn't have moved mountains to get Trey Lance if you loved Jimmy long-term. Right? Well, he's been hurt. He has been hurt a lot. All right. You love him, you wouldn't have gone and gotten his replacement. And you wouldn't have had to throw the ball 8 times in the NFC Championship game, and he wouldn't have shown his shortcomings in the Super Bowl. So remember, Jimmy G threw 5 picks and then he went on to play in the Super Bowl that year. Look, there's a couple things here. I will agree to not freak out over 5 picks on a rainy day in Miami in June. If you will agree to not freak out over 5 touchdowns on a sunny day or a rainy day in June in Miami. You know what I'm saying? Like, both are okay. Like, if you're not going to freak out over the negative, I won't freak out over the positive. But the problem is that reputations become really established at these practices. And if the guys, you can't fool players. The smartest football people on earth play football. Can't fool them. You can't go like, well, you know, it's a rainy day and you guys are too. They know if the guy has it or doesn't have it, and they won't play for a guy that they think doesn't have. Again, I'm not saying that he doesn't have it. Never said that. What I'm saying is that if he doesn't have it, and if this is part of the pattern that he's just not good enough, then there's nothing you can say or no good day you can have to point out that's going to change that.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
And NBC canceled Manifest. Have you seen Manifest?
No.
It's funny. I went on Netflix last night just to watch something with my daughter Harper, and I was like, Manifest, like, have you seen this? She's like, I've never heard of it. It's really amazing. And then, like, some people,
did you binge it?
Oh, okay. Is it good?
No, I think it has to do with like the manifest of an airplane, right?
Yeah, I'm not good with airplane crashes.
I don't know if it's about, yeah. I know it's a manifest.
I can never get to Lost because the first episode is Crash, right?
Just skip that one. You get the gist.
Plane crash. Got it. You got, John, you got anything you're currently binging?
The Bad Batch, but that's a Star Wars thing on Disney Plus. So
wait, is it good?
It's all part of the whole thing. And Loki started on last Wednesday. So
I heard that. Now how's Loki?
It was good. Yeah, it was very intricate. Let's just say that. So you kind of have to pay attention. A lot of stuff going on in that multiverse. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So.
I don't know. I don't understand a lot of that stuff. Like, I need.
Yeah.
Who do I need with me? trying to think. Like, my son knows some of it. My daughters aren't into it. Like, there's a couple of kids on my team who I could, like, hey, let's come over, see Loki, and then explain to me what this is all about.
And then you can diagram plays while you're doing that as well. So,
okay. So what is the Bad Batch? Is it live or is it cartoon?
No, it's animated. Yeah. Animated. It's part of the clone. Yeah. It's part of the Clone Wars. These are
clone Wars.
Troopers. Oh. Yes. They are different than the main clone troopers. They're kind of differently genetically put together. So,
Dan, are you binge watching anything?
No.
Other than your son.
We are so behind on life right now just because of everything that's going on. We are just trying to catch up on the Bravo shows. We caught up on Shaws of Sunset. Still a little behind with Real Housewives of New York City and Beverly Hills, but we are catching up.
All right, catch up on all that drama. That'd be really good for you. That'd be very healthy. Like, man, we have the most stable relationship ever, right?
Man, Mike and Reza, they just don't get along. You know, you thought they were friends, but
they're boys. Reza's a guy, right? And just I don't.
Yes.
Yeah. Never seen the show. Never seen the show. No, we ended up doing Hunger Games, the first Hunger Games movie, and I don't think I've stayed awake through all of it once. I've seen it like four times. I was watching my kid, and I'm always like, it's always late, and I'm like, oh man, I woke up. She was like, Dad, it's over. What's over? The movie. Oh, okay. I guess we got to go to bed. She's like, yeah, you've already gone to bed. Night. Well, it was good, right? It was good. It's good. Way to watch a movie together. Yeah. Oh, man. Did the whole popcorn thing. It was fantastic. So I waited till just that moment where I thought the Clipper game was over. Like, now it's over. Okay, put it on. You got a show for me, Gavin?
It's called Lupin. It's a French show. It's on Netflix, but it's really good. It's kind of like Sherlock Holmes. Guy's kind of a con man, a thief, but it is really, really, really good. And it's called Lupin, and they just released season two. I haven't seen it yet.
Is it in French?
It is
subtitles?
In French. Okay. Yeah,
subtitles.
But, yeah, yeah. I like the subtitles though.
So the show that was canceled on NBC Manifest is the number one show on Netflix.
Hmm.
I've never heard of it.
Me neither. Yeah.
I thought that was Stranger Things.
And it was originally created as a 6-season plan. They're like, yeah, we're good with two.
Two's good enough.
It's a Robert Zemeckis deal. So, I mean, they got some big names behind it, but I can't do the plane thing.
Dan, you like New Amsterdam, right? That's one of your...
I always joke. I love shows that have doctors or cops that just aren't going to play by the rules. This is a new twist.
Heart surgery? Not today, Dan.
Hey, it's my patient. Get out of here, John. I don't care what they say.
Yep, I'm
here for him.
My daughter Harper, she's watched all of the Grey's Anatomies to where she's like caught up. It's like 17 seasons. And that used to be our show like way back in the day. And she's like, she like started explaining everything that happened. I was like, okay, wait, so Derek died? What season? You kept having it? She's like, yeah, they still have it. Now it comes out once a week. I was like, oh, so like a regular TV show. She's like, I don't even know what that is.
Sarah has watched Grey's Anatomy like three times, Doug. Like she's gone through it three times, 17 seasons. Like she keeps watching it. I go, haven't you seen that episode already? She goes, I love it. She loves it, man. She's like your daughter, loves Grey's Anatomy.
There's some adult content there. But the good thing is my daughter, most of that stuff she misses because she's like paying attention to her phone. Some she just wants to get the gist of all the stories. I think, but she's pretty into it. Like she can kind of quote chapter and verse. You know, it's interesting because live sports obviously rule the day, and the U.S. Open is this week at Torrey Pines. I just, Byer, have you got any calls yet from any of these pros on advice?
No, it's been silent, and I think that's a mistake on their end.
It really is. I mean, I don't know. No to Be Gay joins us from NBC Sports and the Golf Channel. He joins us. No, I'm not sure if you're aware, but you're on the show that won the Pro-Am at Torrey. Going back, was that 3 years ago? 3 years ago. And when we were in the South course, others were on the North course. The South are more difficult to courses. And we have not got nary a call from a caddy or a PGA player asking for advice, Noda. I think there's arrogance on the case of golfers.
Well, I mean, it's shocking to me, number one, golfers of your caliber having all of that experience. And success on a venue that's hosting the biggest championship in golf right now. So, yeah, I think there's a little bit of arrogance on the part of the players and maybe the caddy. Just, you know, pick up the phone, pick the brains of, you know, these guys that went around.
Do you think Andy Warhol would have had a chance to talk to Monet? He would have talked to Monet. Of course he would. I'm kidding. Of course. No, to be gay, joining
I
us.
I think he would have.
Yes.
If he had the chance, but it's again, you know, sometimes you let these opportunities slip through your fingers.
This is the first year of where the new schedule actually has become the new schedule. Like it was supposed to be last year, but because of COVID, you know, it moved the Masters to October and everything got kind of to be a mess. But from your estimation, how has it changed the season? How has it changed golf, the new arrangement of the majors being in this order?
I think it's been great. A couple things. I mean, it's great to see that all of the governing bodies. It's interesting. Golf's the only sport that doesn't own the rights to its own major championships. You know, the NFL owns the rights to the Super Bowl and the World Series belongs to Major League Baseball, but the major championships belong to the USGA, the Masters, the PGA of America, and the RNA. And so the PGA Tour at times is left on the outside looking in. And for the governing bodies to cooperate like they did, the PGA moved its date to May. The PGA Tour moved the Players' Championship back to its March date. So now, starting with the Players' Championship, which is, I guess, become a de facto fifth major, you know, you have this great convergence of players and golf and attention on the sport once a month over a five-month period, which I think is remarkable. It's fun. Gives us a little time to breathe in between events and, you know, create these interesting storylines. And when you have players like Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka going at it in the media, it makes it even a little bit more fun.
Yeah, what do you think of their media back and forth?
I think it's intriguing. I think it's, you know, two guys that, you know, maybe don't particularly like each other. You know, you're not going to see them hugging at the end of a round or anything like that. But they do, you know, I don't think they disrespect each other. I think golf hasn't gone quite that far. You know, they just have a difference of opinion on a couple things. And it's nice to see players sort of air their grievances and just get it out there versus, you know, doing it or, you know, sort of taking the high road in terms of no comment, so to speak, because I think that we appreciate it in the media. It gives us something to talk about, and it just kind of lets us know these guys are human too. You know, we all go through life. There's a handful of people along the way we don't really like, and we voice our concerns and opinions, and these guys aren't any different.
Doug B. Gay joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show. Obviously, Torrey, there's two guys that have been the two guys that the public wants to see win it, Torrey. We're not going to see Tiger, obviously, for obvious reasons. But Phil coming off of PGA, I mean, like, look, it wasn't a miracle that he did it before. But in San Diego, what are the realistically, what are the chances he can go back-to-back majors in a place which would so embrace him?
Not great.
Yeah.
I think it's a tougher
fit. So you're saying there's a chance?
I mean, yeah, a very, very, really, really, really tiny chance. I don't know. I mean, the guy made us all look foolish at the PGA. I mean, he was a 200-to-1 shot and, you know, cashed in for somebody who went and put a few ducats on him. But, you know, I just don't see it. It just would be beyond my wildest dreams. But you know what? Tiger winning on a broken leg in 2008. Yep. You know, maybe this is the event and the venue where crazy things happen.
All right. So if you were a betting man, who you like?
And I am a betting man. Well, okay. So hang with me here. I'm going to kind of go through some, you know, some textbook golf analysis, similar to the analysis that you would have given some players and caddies if they would have called you about Torrey.
Right.
Okay, so Torrey Pines is like the fifth toughest golf course to make a putt inside 10 feet. Everybody knows Poana Greens. They're slopey, they're bumpy, they're fast. It makes it hard to make putts. And there's one player back in 2019, the last full season we had before COVID, that performed remarkably well. He didn't win any of the events on the West Coast Swing, but in two of the five events, so five of the most difficult golf courses to make a 10-foot putt are on the West Coast. Okay? Siwoo Kim finished top five in two out of those five events. So I think that he just has an ability to putt. You know, he's a player's champion, so it's obvious he can handle the pressure of the big stage.
Right.
And I just think that he has this ability to putt well on these Poana greens, and I think it could serve him to a huge benefit this week. So that's my pick. That's my sneaky pick.
By the way, Nota is here courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for the most recent odds to win the U.S. Open. Fun props such as what will the winning score be? What will the cut line be? What will the length of the winner's final putt be? Along with head-to-head golfer matchups for the U.S. Open. John Rahm, coming off that kind of bizarre, you know, DQ withdrawal, is the favorite. Brooks and DJ are 16-1. And Bryson, of course, Bryson DeChambeau won the last U.S. Open. That was in September. He's at 18-1, along with Xander Schauffele, and then Spieth, Rory, Colin Morikawa. They're at 20-1 and 22-1, respectively. What about Brooks and Bryson? I think they had the chance to play together, and I think Brooks said, like, nah, I'm not feeling it. Who's playing better coming in?
Well, to tell you how much interest you actually had in my pick, what I just gave you, you didn't even mention Siwoo Kim at 150-1.
I understand, but it's not you. Bet Online gave me all these odds, and I had to give them the higher odds. You gave us the sneaky pick.
Just throw a C note on there.
I got it. Throw a C note, and you get 150-1. I get it. Yes,
we're good. You don't even have to send me a percentage for my information.
I'll send you a percentage.
Out of the kindness of my heart.
If I throw it at 151 and he wins, I would definitely throw you a bone.
You know, Rahm is the favorite for a reason.
What is the reason? What is the reason that Rahm's the favorite?
Well, he was 18 under through three rounds at the Memorial. Just shot third round 64, which is the second best score of the entire year. In 61 rounds that he's played this year, he's had eight top tens in events that weren't team events or match play events. And so he was starting to really trend in the right direction. The only thing that's been holding him back is just one particular round where at times he'll have a tendency to shoot one or two over, and he just gets a little bit too far behind and just hasn't quite been able to close the gap and win some of these tournaments. I think that he locked into something. He found something. At his press conference today, he didn't get up there and complain about PGA Tour COVID policy. He didn't get up there and blame anybody for what happened. He just said, it is what it is. We're in a pandemic. These things happen. Let's move on. I'm happy that I have a chance to play here. That tells me that the guy's focusing on the right things. And he's going out there with an attitude that, hey, you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm playing great golf. I'm just going to go out and do it again.
No, man. Enjoy, Torrey. Thanks so much for joining us. Awesome to catch up. Our thanks to Bet Online. And I will send you at least a bottle of your favorite wine or whatever if your pick comes and wins. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks for your time, guys. Bye.
All right. Nota Big A joining us, NBC Sports Golf Channel and betonline.com.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Is your dad's razor older than you are? Get him something new for Father's Day. A DSC six-blade razor is perfect for an extra close, precise shave. Get one now at a store near you or as part of a gift set at dollarshaveclub.com/Doug. That's dollarshaveclub.com/Doug. Tonight, Bucks Nets game 5. And here's the big question. Will he or won't he? And how healthy will he be? I guess the good thing for James Harden is if he doesn't play and the line has gone from a 5-point Milwaukee favorites of 5 points to 2.5 points. Look, if he doesn't play defense, he can go like, look, hamstring, right? Hamstring. Anyway, no, nothing. I thought that was boom, boom. Reed Fowler, a golf analyst, will join us tomorrow. Chris Broussard will join us tomorrow. Let's get to the press.
The press.
Dan Byer, what do you got?
Doug, Bears head coach Matt Nagy told the Collinsworth podcast for Pro Football Focus, there is no way rookie quarterback Justin Fields would be the team's week one starter against the Rams.
Roger that.
Yeah, look, Justin Fields is far from ready. He's not a refined product. I think eventually he has a chance to be a really good quarterback, but everyone knew that. That's why he, quote unquote, slipped in the draft.
Yeah. Right. And honestly, the last thing I'd want to do is go up against that Rams defense on Sunday Night Football in week one with everybody watching and having what you've got. Aaron Rodgers, speaking of NFC North quarterbacks, talking today, trying to hype up Capital One's The Match as he will go team up with Bryson DeChambeau, going up against Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady. This is Aaron Rodgers talking about his offseason.
It's been one of those quiet offseasons you just dream about where you can just kind of go through your process on your own quietly. And, you know, that's all you can ask for as an older player in the league, and enjoys that time to yourself to just relax, to not be bothered, to not have any obligations or anything going on, and not having any responsibilities, but still being an NFL player at the same time. It's been great.
Rodgers wore a T-shirt that also said, "I'm offended" on it.
Trust the process.
I do. There's an area. There's a point of sarcasm, I think, to the "I'm offended" shirt, but we don't know which it is. I'm surprised that that your son doesn't have an "I'm offended" shirt. I saw that Instagram post with he is adorable.
Oh, right? Thank you.
With a Bucks Giannis T-shirt on.
Yeah, a little onesie. Still a little big on him. Hopefully the Bucks can play a little bit longer so he fully grows into it.
Right.
Doug, you made some waves when you weighed in on the John Rahm situation a couple of weeks ago at the Memorial when he was forced to withdraw after testing positive. Guess what?
John Rahm was vaccinated.
Yeah, and John Rahm agrees with you.
The rules are there, and it's clear. And I'm not going to lie, I was fully aware when I was in the tracing protocol that that was a possibility. I knew that could happen. I was hoping it wouldn't. I was playing like it was not going to. But, you know, I support what the PGA Tour did.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
John Rahm today. And finally, Major League Baseball, yes, 10-game ban if pitchers are caught using a foreign substance. Umpires will conduct multiple checks throughout the game. Starting pitchers will have one mandatory check, and relievers will be checked after they leave the game or after an inning is completed. And that's the press.
Hey, get out there and press.
That was the press.
What if they had like TSA there for pitchers? Hey, come out, like, see if you can take off your shoes. You gotta empty out your pockets. There's something in your left
pocket.
What
about belts? What about my belts?
Belts. I like the Nets tonight. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.